This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. Before the break, you heard from Galesburg Rescue Mission Executive Director Dave Scholl about what's been going on there in almost the last week since Knox County's first confirmed COVID-19 case was announced. We wanted to get the other side of some of that because there have been a lot of questions in the community, among other things, of why isn't this person being identified? Why isn't where they live being identified and things like that? And no matter how many times we try to answer that question, maybe we're not answering that question that well. I don't know. But Eileen Innes and Aaron Olson are here. Eileen, of course, you know, is with Galesburg Cottage Hospital. Aaron is with the Knox County Health Department. But for the purposes of this discussion, they're helping to organize some of the messages that get out to the public in a situation like this through the Unified Command and the Emergency Management Agency. So thanks to you both for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Level with me, Eileen, from a hospital standpoint, when somebody calls you and wants to know how somebody is doing when they're in the hospital, how hard is it to tell them no?
You know, you can only do that when you're a family member or a friend and you've called the hospital and you've talked to the operator and you have the full name of the patient and you want to know what room they're in. Mm-hmm. You can't ask, are they there? You could only ask, what room are they in? And if you have the full name, they'll give you that information. But you remember just from the days when you were a reporter, when you would call for a condition report.
I would call and I would speak to a nursing supervisor and they would give us conditions on every accident and situation we were finding. And then the federal HIPAA law went into effect and we just kind of gave up trying to find out conditions because we were never going to find out.
Well, you could get the condition if you knew the name of the patient and you called me.
Yeah.
So, you know, every hospital has a spokesperson and has to go through that. So, really, there are fines involved with the federal government. So, no nurse is going to risk giving out any information that they shouldn't give, and nor should we. We are protecting the patient's identity. And in this case, some of the information that could have been given out could have been unique to that individual and could have been what we call a unique identifier. And that we have to stay clear of.
So, Aaron, that leads me to you. In the last couple of days, on at least more than one occasion, I've tried to glean information about this particular case, and your answer to me has always been...
We at the health department, as we do with every other communicable disease or any other individual that comes through our building any other time of the year, as with this, we always protect the individual. We protect their privacy. We cannot give any specific information about anything because they are a human being and they are protected by that. And as Eileen said, giving out some information could lead to specific identifiable locations or places. And that is still part of that individual's privacy that we take great pride, as with every other hospital and every other medical facility, of giving that person, keeping them their individuality and keeping them their rights that they have as a person.
So then what happens when the executive director of the rescue mission comes out and says, yeah, the guy lived here?
That's on him.
Okay.
He's not held to what we are held to.
Okay.
As health organizations, we cannot release any specific information about anybody who's been treated or cared for in either of our establishments.
He also says, Aaron, that that he's been cooperating with the health department in their investigation of this. That's not really something you can talk about either, is it?
I can tell you that we've continued, the health department continues to go in, you know, we've been there this weekend and we continue to go in and monitor individuals and work with the rescue mission. And it has been a good working relationship that we have going on with people here, there within the community. We have good working relationships with the hospital, with, you know, OSF Cottage. We have good working relationships with anybody that we are identifying with any sort of communicable disease, no matter what it is within our community. So working with those that we may be identifying and following through with right now is going well.
And Dave did say as much that he was pretty praiseworthy of the health department's involvement in this. And you're saying that that sounds like that'll probably continue for a while, at least until the threat is gone, I guess, maybe, or the threat is lessened, maybe?
I can say those at the health department are doing a good job investigating what they are supposed to be doing and who they are investigating that individual and moving forward and doing a good job with what they're doing.
You know, the transmission dynamics are complex in this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is just almost just never ending.
That transmission part of this, how the virus itself gets transmitted, is to me, the thing that's so mind-blowing about this. It almost seems like that every day we learn something new about how this virus can be transmitted, either on, you know, through surfaces, you know, coughing, breathing, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, this whole situation with COVID is changing daily. More information becomes apparent to all of us. Some of us are all learning about this each and every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, every day that we wake up and we read the headlines that you're reading for the first time as well. So, you know, we're all in this together.
And you read a lot at the top of the CDC information still. It just says this is still a new evolving virus that is there. So when you read new and evolving, that's a day by day, minute by minute that every single one of us are doing.
I mean, when I go back to a couple of things that come up, seems like ad nauseum, quite frankly, since the case was announced on Friday. One of the things that seems to be asked a lot is, why wasn't a lot of this information first disseminated from the very beginning? I think there were people that wanted to know from the second this case was announced where this person was, who they've been in contact with, all this stuff that you can't really talk about.
Because all of that information is uniquely identifiable to the person who may have had this.
And so, I'm going to keep asking probably questions where that answer is going to be the same thing, but I want to make sure that that's emphasized. Because that's not, you know, I could explain that to people, but they're not going to believe me because I'm a member of the media.
Right. And so health agencies are held to a completely different set of rules than what Dave Scholl and the rescue mission are held to.
And that's probably partly what answer why, which was going to be my next question, why in some areas we've heard of nursing homes or long-term care facilities where they're either in Illinois or Iowa where there have been outbreaks, and the entity has come out and said, yeah, it happened here and we're doing everything we can to keep it from spreading. I mean, that's not necessarily something that you can come out and say that X nursing home has this or Y long-term care facility has this. It's almost up to the facility itself, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yes.
So I want to get a perspective on how you guys do your job too in this situation. I'm sorry to make you laugh, Aaron. I know that's hilarious.
No, it's a good question because I think sometimes we get lost.
Because it's not something that you're just, you know, throwing together by the seat of your pants. You're thinking about this kind of all the time, aren't you?
Yes.
How to organize a message and how to relay information to the public and all that sort of thing.
Yes, we are. It is not something, like you said, we just don't throw this together. When they started the Unified Command for the Knox County Unified Command, they brought together all of the PIOs throughout the county, which encompasses the Knox County Health Department, Galesburg Cottage Hospital, OSF St. Mary Medical Center, Knox College, Carl Sandburg College, District 205, and Knox County Courthouse.
And I imagine that every one of those entities.
And the city of Galesburg.
I imagine they all have a different opinion as to how information should get out, too.
We all have different opinions, but we all have one. We all decided we have a Google. We all can talk through Google, and we put.
Oh, you're learning the video conferencing, too.
Well, we put all of our information into this system, whether it's daily questions, or we're working on media releases, or we're working on flyers. And we put all that in there together, and then we all work together with putting information. Because maybe the questions and the information that we're working on is for the hospital setting. And I'm not one that's going to be able to answer a hospital setting because I'm not in that. So we come together through computer and through internet, but we also come together twice a week and sit down in the room and talk about, okay, what's messaging that Cottage needs right now that we can work on together? Or do you need anything? Or what's messaging that the health department needs? So when we send stuff out right now, we are working on that as the Unified Command, and everything goes out as one thing, as a solid unified message through all agencies. So we are all sharing that same message, so we don't have 7 to 8 different things going out through one small rural community.
And it's just not the PIOs. It's the Unified Command.
Yeah.
It is collaborative from the word go, from every step, from every process, from every committee, everybody comes to the table together.
And this has probably helped that, you know, as one person working for one hospital, Eileen, you probably need right now.
You know, I'll tell you what. What it's done for our community is really inspiring. I mm-hmm. think Unified mm-hmm. Command has really set a beautiful tone for all of us. And, you know, both of the hospitals have come together. This is something that everybody has had a hand in. And it's evident when you come to our meetings. It's evident when the Unified Command is together. There are lots of different hats shored up in one room, and they all have great ideas. And collaboratively, they are addressing this material together.
Do you see how has it gone then? Have you had to make changes? Have you had to revise the way you do things here in the last couple of weeks?
We've revised things, you know, quite a bit. By when we walked into the room, you know, when we come into rooms anymore, everybody is much more social distanced. Our Unified Command meetings that we do call, that we do have, are on phone calls. Mm-hmm. So everybody is social distanced. But coming together for messaging across the whole Unified Command, I think coming together is a big thing that not only we've done, but I think we're trying to portray to our community that, yes, this is, you know, this can be difficult for the community, and we get that. And we, everybody on this Unified Command, is a part of this community.
Yeah.
And we may be pushing these messages out, but know that we are also following these messages. We are staying at home when we're supposed to. We're coming to work because all of us are deemed essential to keep the public safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to keep our distance. We're going home, you know, and we're doing our sheltering, you know, staying at home, trying to only go out if you absolutely need to. So we're not just writing these messages. We are also practicing them ourselves because we have families.
Yeah.
You know, within this place, we aren't seeing, you know, we can't go see our parents, you know, or our kids or our grandparents or our friends either. So we are not only encouraging others, but trying to practice this also.
Eileen, I know that you have somewhat of a background in news, having been a part of the alumni club here at the radio station, but these days more of your job is more marketing, which isn't necessarily the same thing as being a public information officer. So I imagine, how difficult is it for you to kind of switch from one hat to the other in a situation like this?
You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. Yeah. And so I would say now, not so difficult.
Yeah.
And I think when I first probably assumed the role, I think I felt pretty pretty comfortable in the scope of a PIO,
yeah,
having been in journalism for a number of years.
And I bring that up because I imagine that when you sit down and you all talk about things like this, you probably are anticipating that somebody's going to be upset that more information wasn't released sooner, or that somebody is going to want to know more details about this case, or where this person might have lived and things like that. So I imagine you're probably to a point thinking about questions that might be asked before I can even think to ask it.
Probably not. And you
no?
want to know why?
Okay.
Because the federal government is so clear on what you can say and what you cannot say.
You hear that, federal government?
That's exactly right.
They're listening in on this conversation.
And there are hefty fines
yeah.
for anybody who doesn't adhere to that. So, no, it's very clear. There are very clear parameters
mm-hmm.
in which you can give so much information and nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
And so we do adhere to that. Mm-hmm. We take that very seriously. And when you take a job as a PIO at a health facility, you have to promise and sign on the dotted line that you will uphold all of those.
You
and
do.
It's, you know, I consider it a part of my integrity that I yeah. adhere to that as well.
Yeah. I think I just got you worked up a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Well, you don't get me started on how much I've been worked up on all this in the last couple of weeks. But
listen,
you know.
We know. I can only imagine how people.
I'm a part of the fake news media. So,
yeah.
you know, no matter what I do, you know, somebody's not going to like it.
But, you know, that's part of the problem, too. Right.
Yeah.
So you get social media involved and you get everyone's mm-hmm. opinions. And you know, somebody smells a rat or thinks that there's a conspiracy going on. There's no conspiracy here.
Yeah.
We really are limited as to what information we can provide.
Okay, I'm out of time, but what else should we know about what it is that you guys do these days?
The biggest thing we want to remind people is that as a community, you still need to remember that you need to stay at home. You need to do your social distancing. If you do feel ill or if you do feel sick, we as PIOs and the Unified Command are stressing, call your doctor first. call them with, you know, if you have mild symptoms, you have severe symptoms, call your doctor first. They can either telephone you back. They can telehealth you back. They can do all of that. And they will then direct you as to what they want you to do. If you are sick, please don't go out. Stay home. It is hard. We know it's getting hard with the weather getting nicer.
Yeah.
But continue.
And Castle Cream just opened today, for heaven's sakes. Aaron?
But, I know. But continue to stay strong. Do what we're doing, because the more we do, the more we stay at home, the more we continue to do what we're supposed to do as a community, the sooner that we will see the curve.
You know, Eileen, you just said sensible. I think that's probably the most important word to use
here. It is. It is being very sensible, and that's what we're all trying to do.
All right. I feel so much better now.
I heard something today.
Yeah, go ahead.
That said that from here on out, really what matters is not going to be supplies and testings and screenings. It really is about human behavior.
Even though people keep asking about supplies and testing and not and about human behavior?
Yes. Right? At this, especially at the place where we are here in Galesburg, Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. I'm just, you know, playing contrarian because, again, that's what I do. Eileen Innes and Aaron Olson, thanks so much for coming in. I hope we cleared up some information. I don't think it's going to make everybody happy, but then again, if I was in the business of making everybody happy, I'd be a DJ and not a news reporter. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We need to break for news, and when we come back, we'll get to our discussion about the census and how important that is, you know, since you need something to do, since none of us are allowed to go outside. We'll get to that, and we'll get to business later in the next half hour, but local news is next on Galesburg's Evening News.